I am glad to have this time with you. It's a beautiful day, and it's been a beautiful week. And we have this time to celebrate a wonderful, loving Savior. It couldn't be any better, could it? Today, I want to just look at some things with you that are found in Genesis. So I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Genesis chapter 3. And I do ask again that you stand with me in honor of God's Word. Genesis chapter 3, I have just one verse that I want to share or that I would like to read with you. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Father, thank you again for this time, and thank you, Father, for searching, for helping, but also, Lord, for sending us on your mission to seek and to find and to share. As you came for us, now you use us to find others still lost in darkness and in sin. And strengthen us, I pray, as your people, to do your will and to live the life that you would have us to live, honoring you as you have honored us. Now, Lord, I pray, strengthen us in your words today that we can stand strong and firm against our enemy. We ask it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. How many of you, now I know I'm going to be asking all of you to go a ways back, mostly. How many of you remember the first question that you ever asked yourself? The very first question that you might have asked yourself, I imagine it would be the same one that some of you have asked at least to yourself right now. And that question is this: why? Maybe that's the first question that you ever ask. You know, as children, that is a question that just constantly pours out of us. Don't do that. Why? Don't eat that. Why? You know, that is the question that people just inherently have born within them. Why? Why? You ask me one more time and I'll tell you why. The first question, though, that God asks is this: where are you? And this question, it is a question that resonates throughout all of humanity today. It began with one individual, but it is given to all of us. It is a question that is just resounding throughout all of creation. And I ask you today, where are you in your relation to God? I mean, God could have asked a lot of questions. It wasn't like he didn't know where Adam and Eve were when they were hiding. But he asked it in this manner: where are you? Where are you? It's the same kind of question that God asks all of us when we have done something wrong. It is a refining fire kind of question. A lot of times we might think of a refining fire as that thing that helps burn away all the bad and all of the evil and makes us shine. But you know, sometimes it's just learning to deal with the pain of what we've done by recognizing it through that question that is asked. Where are you? Because when that question is asked, we realize we're not in the place we should be. And in this case, our place should have been with God in faith and trust in what He has told us, what He has taught us. We should always be in that kind of relationship with God, that we are right there where we need to be. So when something goes wrong, it's not us, it's always somebody else, right? That's the other part that comes out in us. It wasn't me. How many of you have ever pointed the finger? You know, Adam will do that in a few moments. Well, that woman that you gave me, I know I'm having a little fun with this, but it's really a serious matter. And the question stands, where are you in relation to God today, in your life? Where are you? I'm asking, but God wants to know. Where are you? It's more of a question that is better understood when it's asked like this. Why are you hiding? You see, God knew where Adam and Eve were. They heard Him coming into the garden after they had done the one thing that they were not supposed to have done. They had sown fig leaves and covered themselves, and that wasn't enough. They hid in the bushes. So God couldn't see them, right? So God couldn't see them. And God comes into the garden and He gets close enough for them to hear, and He says, "Where are you?" That's not a question of, I can't see you, or I can't find you. I'm not sure where to go. Are you around? He's not asking that. He is asking this. Why are you hiding? Why are you hiding? For the same reason we hide when we sin in our life. Because they recognize these things. God's presence. You know, for a Christian who knows the love and the grace and the mercy that we have in Christ Jesus, when we sin, do we stand out in front for everybody to see and parade in our sins? Or do we hide because of the guilt and the shame that we feel? Do we hide for the same reasons that they were hiding? They were afraid. They knew they had sinned. God said, "Don't do it." And they did. And they were aware. And they knew He was close. And they were afraid to face Him. Because then we have to give an account. Then we have to explain why. Then we have to justify. Then we have to find reasons why it's okay. Then we act like people that are sinful, when we ought to just own up and say, "God, I've sinned and I have erred and I need forgiveness." We're always following the path of our greatest, grandest parents of all. We're hiding and we're not wanting to be seen, and we're unwilling to admit what is happening in our life, what we have done in our life. What we have done. There were three things that really stand out there. They heard His voice, they were afraid, and then they were afraid because they were naked. Naked. That's why they put on the fig leaves. But even they knew it wasn't going to work. They jumped in the bushes. They were afraid of His presence. They were afraid of what they had done. And they were afraid because they realized they were naked. You see, this is what happens when sin has control in our life. We find ourselves in a place of contemplation and realization that we have erred in our life. It's not a mistake when we sin. We can do sin unknowingly at times, but when we really sin, it's not because we don't know what we're doing. It's not an error. It is disobedience. It is unwillingness to follow God. It is unwillingness to heed His word. It is submission to self and rejection of God. That's what it is. If we want to put sin on the table and call it what it is disobedience and rejection of God. Because we place self before God. It's okay. I understand. I've been there. Who among us doesn't know the pain and the guilt of sin? Better question. Who among us knows a Savior that forgives and gives life and hope and joy even after failure? And how many of us celebrate that Christ every day? Because we're going to have these questions, these moments of refining fire in our life where God says, "Why are you hiding?" So we can ask ourselves, well, that's a good question. Why am I hiding? What am I afraid of? Am I afraid because of what I've done? Am I afraid that I will be exposed? Am I afraid of others finding out? God knows. By the way, you can't hide from God. You can't hide what you've done from God. He knows. He knows. But now the world's kind of crowded and a bunch of other people are going to find out too, aren't they? It's not going to be just between me and God. A lot of times our sin is going to be known. How many of you ever heard of the grapevine? Any of you ever lived close to a grapevine? Any of you ever been a grapevine? The word is out. The word will get out. If it's not already there, it's on its way. You come to know Christ and find forgiveness of sins. You go back to some of those people that you used to hang out with and you try to befriend them and have time with them and you start to talk about the goodness of Christ and you hear this a lot of times. I know who you were. Don't talk to me about that. I know what you've done. Is this what keeps us in hiding, keeps us afraid when we fail in life again, when we dishonor God through sin? Do we hide in shame because we know how people are going to react? Then be stronger in your life. That's what God calls us to do every day, isn't it? To be stronger in our life, to take up our cross daily and follow Him. The very first question that God ever asked of mankind in all of Scripture, right there in Genesis, where are you? Where are you in your relationship with God? That's still a very important question, isn't it? Very important. We might hear it in this kind of question as well. How did you get where you are? You know, why are you hiding? Why did you get where you are? And here's a real good one for you. Whose company are you keeping? How many of you told your parents, well, everybody's going? How many of you ever heard that response? Well, I don't care if they're all jumping off the top of the Empire State Building. You're not. And how many of you went anyway? You see the nature that is within us? It's a rebellious kind of nature, isn't it? And though we may have escaped at times in our life, there's still the shame of what we did that we carry. There's still the guilt of what we may have done that we carry. There is still our enemy who stands in the shadows and whispers in our ear, you know, God can't possibly love someone like you. You might not have jumped off the building, but you may as well have, because he doesn't want anything to do with you. He doesn't. How can he love you? How can you really think God loves you? Because he can see you just like I do. But isn't it amazing how two beings can see the same thing and have two different perspectives? Satan sees nothing but your doom and destruction because of the ugliness that you are. And Christ sees the hope and the possibility that is found through the forgiveness of sin and the life that you can have. He sees the potential for your life, not the destruction of it because of what you've done. He sees destruction in all of our pathways if we reject his forgiveness. And that's all Satan wants you to see. Christ wants you to see there is hope and there is joy if you turn to him for forgiveness. Then those questions, why are you hiding? Whose company are you keeping? They don't become questions that are painful for all of our life. They become questions that help us realize and take the next step that is the right way to go. The first question God ever asked, I already told you, you know it, where are you? How many of you remember what the very first question in Scripture is? See, this is interesting. Because it's the very first question that's ever asked in Scripture that got us in this position to begin with. The first question, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Did God really say you should eat of every tree? Did God really say you shouldn't? The first question is an attack against God. The second question is God asking us now, where are you? Why are you hiding? So it goes back to that one question that I asked. This is important. Whose company are you keeping? Because the people you keep company with can determine the kinds of questions that they throw at you. You really believe God? You believe that there is a God? You think there's a Savior who's willing to forgive your sins? You really think there's only one path to heaven? Your company can ask you these questions. The people that you are with day in and day out that you give a part of your life to. Hopefully not giving it up for them, but giving a part to and allowing them to influence you with these kinds of questions. The same way that Satan came into the garden and brought us all to the brink of destruction. Brought us all to this place where when we fail in life, we find ourselves hiding from God because we are afraid and naked. We are raw right there before God. And we feel the pain of it. God didn't tell them not to eat of that one tree because he just didn't want them to have the fruit. He wanted to keep them safe from the consequence of that fruit. It's the same way with every sin in our life. God doesn't want to just keep us from knowing things. He wants to save us from the things and the problems they cause when we act against him. Serving self, not concerned about what comes next. God wants to keep us safe and to keep us from knowing those intimate details of sin because of the pain it causes. How many of you think that pain doesn't come with sin? It might not yet, but give it time. It's coming. Where are you in your relationship with God? We just celebrated the resurrection of our glorious Savior. And how many of us in this past week following found ourselves hiding? Found ourselves doubting? Giving room to those questions of doubt? Making room for error in our life? Where are you in relationship to God? Isn't that what we're here to ask ourselves? We celebrate His love and His grace and His mercy. We celebrate His refining fire moments with us. But do we really love Him like we should? Enough so that we can stop blaming others for problems we might have in our life, sinful conditions that we have in our life. You know, the world is cruel, isn't it? I run into people that have so many problems, and you know whose fault those problems are? Everybody else's. Everybody else's problem. Let me talk to you about Christ and how to find strength to overcome. I don't need that crutch. I don't need to know about a God who's mean and hateful and wants to send people to hell. God's not trying to send anybody to hell. He's trying to save us from hell. But the company you might be keeping tells you these kinds of things. Well, you got plenty of time. We'll worry about that later. There's so much we can do right now. Let's just have fun. Let's just have fun and forget about all of our troubles. And how do you have fun to forget your trouble? You drink another cold one? You got some kind of drug that's going to just make everything feel better? Because those are the things that kill and destroy not just you, but those around you and the relationships you have with them. People that love you and can't be a part in your life because of who you become. Serving self. Believing in the doubt more than you believe and the God who has instructed otherwise. Has God indeed said, "You shall not eat of every tree in the garden"? Now God says there's only one tree to find life that you can eat from. And that's His Son, Jesus Christ. And the world looks at you and says, "But there's so many. Look at all these trees." God said, "Look at all these trees, just that one. Stay away from that one." I had to run right for it because Satan just wanted to push us right to that one. Got to get to that one. Got to have that one. Got to have it. And now Jesus says, "Okay, there's only one tree that you can eat from and find life." And Satan's out there and the world's pushing. "Oh no, look at all those other trees." All those other trees didn't matter in the garden. All those other trees. And they walk past the one they need for the sake of experiencing all those other trees. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me, Jesus. J. Jesus, where are you in relationship to God? Because see, when we look at these two questions, where are you? And has God indeed, has He said? We find ourselves in a moment of contemplation. On the left hand, these words are found in Scripture. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. And on the right hand, we have these words that we should hear. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. In Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through His blood. The forgiveness of sins. Hope and joy and life. But through the eyes of a fool, there are so many trees still yet to eat from. Where are you at in your relationship to God? See, that's the question. That's the life question for you today. Where are you in your relationship to God? Have you found forgiveness of sin? Have you found hope and joy and life in Jesus Christ? Have you found it in Jesus Christ? Then be strong when the devil shows up and wants to challenge your faith. Stand strong. God didn't say you're going to have every answer that's ever going to be needed for questions thrown at you. He just says walk in faith. And there's some hard questions out there. But faith gets you through it all. You don't have to have an answer for every question. You just need a Savior for every moment. And Jesus Christ is the Savior. And I'm calling to you today. Do you know life and hope and joy and the forgiveness of sins in Christ? If not, why not? And will you come today and know Him? Will you find that life and that peace and that joy? Will you celebrate His goodness? Because He gives it so freely for all who will come. The altar is open. I invite you to come. Father, I thank You. I do thank You for grace and mercy. Lord, and it becomes so much more wonderful in those moments when failure has suppressed us, and yet You dig through that and You find us and You lift us up in forgiveness, and our joy is renewed and our hope. Father, we thank You that You love us so much, that You walk with us every day. You search for us and keep us every day. And Father, I pray that all of us here today have found peace with You and grace and mercy through You, leading to eternal life. Father, if there is one that does not know that life, I pray today they will find forgiveness and hope and joy in You. And I ask it to Your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come?